Yeah, Matthew chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming the fear of failure. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 18 through 25. 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is a very familiar text. It's not Christmas, and it's not about Christmas story, amen? But you can learn about everything. It doesn't have to be a Christmas story to talk about Christmas. But, you know, we call it a Christmas story because it's dealing with the birth of Christ. But there's a lot of information we can pull out of this here. But in verse 18, it goes this way. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we look at this passage, Lord, and I'm dealing with overcoming fears in our life of failure, seem like we see things that happen. It doesn't look like we've done well or we somewhere we messed up in our life, Father, and it seemed to be failure. But God, help us to see how the little things is not a failure, Lord God, but you're working our life. We can apply these truths to overcome, Lord, and overcome fear. Lord God, fear is something that struggles in my life, and I feel like I can't do anything, Lord. But with you, we can do all things, Father. Lord, this is a church. It's small, but Lord, you said do not despise small things. And Lord, this church here seems like we can't do a lot. We got a building we can't build, it seems like. We got a bus ministry we can't build. We can't do this and this. But God, you are an almighty God that hears prayer. And Lord, you showed us this week that you answered a prayer and took care of our sister, Audrey. Now, Father, help us to look at this message and this passage and overcome trials in our life that we walk away tonight saying we have met with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I look in this passage, you know, we think about Christmas, but it has nothing to do with Christmas, really. But it talks about Christmas. But, you know, during Christmas time, we call it a wonderful time. It's personally wonderful to me when I like Christmas. But unfortunately, the people in this world don't know what true joy of Christmas really is. There was a missionary, and it was in Japan, was walking down the street early Christmas morning asking questions what the meaning of Christmas was. And they all had different answers and statements what they thought Christmas was. But one man said, the celebration of the day of Jesus died. Perhaps many people don't have no understanding what the meaning of Christmas is. That's why there's so much apprehension in our life today. Peace has joy eludes us. Our nation doesn't have joy and peace because in reality we don't have Christ. We don't have God. We have pushed him outside and we have everything but God. And there's that missing that joy and peace in our life. And I'm looking at this passage and you see that Joseph was a man here. You look at it. This is like the first Christmas, you could say. And yet, he don't have peace. Couldn't you almost say that he could almost feel like his family life, his situation, he's espoused to his wife, and now she's with child, he felt like a failure. His marriage is messed up. And it really hadn't began. And in fact, that's what I'm looking at. We look at our text, we see a pondering in his thoughts here. Should he take Mary his wife, or should he let her go? And he's sitting and contemplating on this situation. Verse 20 says, but while I thought on these things. And he's pondering on these things. And just kind of a quick note on it. You imagine he walked up and she's met him. And she's probably excited to tell him what just happened. And he's hearing the story don't make any sense logically. And then he's saying, okay, now she's with child. There's a problem. I mean, I would struggle with that. And then, you know, he's sitting there. But worry doesn't prevent disaster, does it? But it prevents joy. Let me say that again. I quote this from somebody else. Worry doesn't prevent disaster. It prevents joy. Look at number one is the paralysis of the fear. Verse 19 says, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, but he thought on these things. he was pondering on these things, and he was engaged, and he was legally bound to be his wife. But verse 18 says, but when Christ was on this wise, that the mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before she came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1 verse 27 tells us that the virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin Mary, the virgin name was Mary, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And I tell you that he was fearful of her reputation because he was worried about her shame because he was willing to put her away privately. He was bound to her by marriage. It was a bonding period, but he was putting her away mercifully because he wanted to divorce, but he didn't want everybody to know the cause of the divorce. Because legality, if he made it known, they could have stoned her. He should have been shamed. And I think it shows that he loved the woman. He really cared, but he's pondering on these thoughts. You know, should he keep her? Should he just let her go? I mean, he's just, the thoughts is pondering on his way because she's telling that she's with a child. He probably knows the passage, but is it true? Is it really true? I mean, there's probably, wouldn't the first time a woman ever lied about this. I mean, I don't know the details exactly, does it give us, but I'm just thinking as a man, prospectively, if somebody came and said, this is what happened, my thoughts don't go that way. And I'm pondering that he's sitting there wondering about this situation in his life. I mean, he's fearful about her reputation, and he loved her, and he's willing to put her away privately, not be a public accusation. But Joseph's fear also brought the reservation, because he didn't know what to do. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, he's pondering on it. Proverbs 1:27 tells us this, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. When your fear does come upon you, it doesn't come as something very slowly, but it comes to destroy like a tempest, like a famine or a sword or a pestilence. It really just comes destroying and it takes everything from you. But it's like a calamity, like a whirlwind, unsudden. He walks through the doors, he's probably, let's say he has flowers and says, I love you, honey, and she, guess what, she's pregnant with child. I mean, I don't know about you, but it pondered my heart. I was thinking, something's wrong. But he loved her. And he paralyzes her. You know, fear paralyzes people. It stops them. I know a man that couldn't hardly do sit-ups of fear. Fear stops people from moving during war. Fear stops you from doing great things. Men haven't gone into ministry. Men won't do... Listen, people won't go door knocking because they're fearful of what's behind that door. Fear stops. Fear is able to fear you're not able to accomplish the task. And they say this, a National Bureau standard says, dense fog covers 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, contains less water than a glass of water, a few ounces. It says all that fog is condensed into water, it feels quite just a glass. Compared to things that we worry about, like fog, it stops our vision, what we see. It really looks big, but it's not that big. I mean, a big fog in that area is 60 billion droplets of water. 60 with a B, billion. But you all condense that water together, it comes out this much water. You notice that fear a lot of times makes it big, doesn't it? A problem, how it's big it is, and how I'm going to do this, and how are we going to get this done. But you really condense it down. It really is but this. How big is our God? How big is our God? I mean, we could just sit back and say, you know what? Did we see God answer prayer last week? Did God do something? Or is that just coincidence? My friend, my God is not that big. My God's a huge God. My problem's really this big. My focus is I look at it and I put it in a magnifying glass and it gets big. But listen, we see the fear that he's worried about his reputation, his wife, and the fear reservation, it hinders and stops him. But then we see the priority of fearful. Verse 20 and 23, it tells us that it goes on, it says, when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Fear not. See, you see, he's already a fearful man, but fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus,
It says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet of the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophets. Then he says, "Behold, a virgin." He gives him the prophecy: "A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us." He's considering the situation. This child is of the Holy Ghost. He's going to be son of a David. He's part of this wonderful plan of redemption. You have a part of something great. But listen, we got to turn from the fear. He's telling, "Fear not. Don't focus on this situation you're looking at." Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And I look at so that we may boldly say. We may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. Is he your helper? Then he goes on to say, "I will not fear." Why? "What man shall do unto me?" I ain't gonna fear what man. Who is my helper? The problem is when I'm looking at fear, it stops me because that's what's is big. It's that fog. I can't see in front of me. I can't see. Does it matter how far I can see? I don't know what's going to happen in Grace Baptist Church in 20 years from now. I don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to take place after service or 5 minutes from now. But it doesn't matter, does it? But my problem is I'm focused on the situation and not on God. And he says, look, so we may boldly say without hesitation. Fear comes and it can stop us. But listen, what do we fear when we have assurance that the Lord is with us on our side? What is it that we fear? What is it that you fear when you go soul winning that somebody's going to say something to you? What is it you're fearful of? I mean, what can you mess up? They're going to hell. What else can you do worse than that? I mean, what are you fearful? Listen, God has promised us to provide for us. Why are we worried about the clothes we wear or the house? I mean, God is in charge. I moved here and I trusted God. I mean, I'm not the greatest preacher, but I'm trusting God is going to do something great. I mean, I expect God to do something great. I mean, I expect God to bring some people in, get involved. I expect y'all to grow and be mature and do some great, mighty things. I expect that. Not because you, because I expect God to do something with His Word, because this is the preeminence. Not me, but this. But listen, if I put God first, what should I fear? I mean, what does a missionary fear? Sarah, what are you fearful to go? You're going to a place that they can kill you. But don't be fearful because you trust God. The woman stepping out by faith, a single woman. I don't know where I'll let my girls go. Why? Fear. But they say, "Daddy, God wants me to go." Who can really protect them? You see? Fear, that big old fog, condensed it down with just a glass of water. Makes me want to take a drink. Amen. Nobody's saying amen. So remember, the rule is what?
Amen.
Thank you. Psalm 37 verse 25 tells us, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let me read that again because it didn't come out right. I've been young and now am old. And it says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Think about it. God has always taken care of. This is a man back then. Has it changed since Psalms 37? It's still the same. Listen, God always takes care. We need to turn. A priority is fearful, is turning from fear and turning to the Word of God. Verse 20, it says this, "But while he thought on these things, he's pondering on it. It's been heavy on it. I don't know about you, but I'm no mighty man, but I'm probably like Joseph. I'm thinking something's wrong here. He loves this woman. He cares for her, but there's a problem. She's with child. She sins from God. That don't make sense." But God comes. But listen, it was His Word. He turned to His Word. Because the Holy Spirit came. And listen to what it says here. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And listen, he didn't turn on just a hope. He turned to the Word. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, without dispute, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. That means He's vindicated by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Listen, He trusted the Word of God. It's proven.
Yeah, I knew there was more. Now, which was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. He's going back to the Word of God. Hebrews 10:5 says, wherefore, when He was coming into the world, He says, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for Me. He has come into flesh, God in flesh. Bible tells us the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh, we dwelt among us. Here we have the Word of God. The Bible says we have the more sure word of prophecy. That means an angel could tell me to start a bus ministry, and he says, oh, that it sounds great, but I got a Word of God that's more sure than the angel coming telling me. Why am I fearful? Why can I fear if I'm failing if I'm doing obedient to God's Word? Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes and I fail. I can say that never been a perfect husband. Never been a perfect father. Never been a perfect son. But if I quit, I'm a failure. But if I continue on and obeying the Word of God, how can I be a failure? How can Grace Baptist Church be a failure if it continues on with the Word of God? We have the more sure word of prophecy. God can help us overcome, but the problem is we focus on the fear instead of turning to the Word of God. Does God hear prayers? But we're fearful that He won't hear, or we just don't believe He would. But God does answer prayer. Listen, Jesus would bring salvation. Verse 21, it tells them, it says, He shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. His name is Jesus, a deliverer, a Savior. He will come to deliver His people from their sins. It's a wonderful name. No other name like Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given by men whereby men must be saved. No other name. Most precious name. You know what the thing is? What did Joseph have a part in this birth?
He was holy.
Nothing.
He was
James.
Royal.
I know. Hold on for a second, Bubba. He had nothing in part. God did it. What do I have a part going soul winning? I just tell them what Jesus said, the Word, and the Holy Spirit convicts, draws, and they surrender. All I have to do is turn the Word of God and let God work in those things. In school today, they've turned from the Word of God. They sing songs like Winter Wonderland, Frosty the Snowman, and Susie the Snowflake. No wonder we don't have boys become men today. He's Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. This is why the world is paralyzed with fear, because they do not turn to the Word of God. The paralysis of fear, the priority of fear. What about the product of fear? Look at verse 24 through 25. Joseph says, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew him, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The product of faith is that he obeyed the Word of God. Listen, he listened to the Word of God. He did what the angel told him to do. There was a lady who was in a house cooking cookies one day, and then a man came up to her house with old clothes up and battered, and obviously he needed some work, and he asked her, do you have any work to do? And she says, can you paint? He said, yes. He said, well, I'm a good painter. Well, she said, well, there's 2 gallons of green paint there and a brush, and there's a porch out back, and it needs to be painted. Please do a good job, and I'll pay you what it's worth. He said, fine, I'll do it quickly. She went back to her cookie baking, and she didn't think much about it. There was a knock on the door, and she went open the door and noticed there was paint on his clothes, and she said, did you finish the job? He said, yes. She said, did you do a good job? He said, yes.
But lady, there's one thing I'd like to point out. There's not a Porsche back there, but a Mercedes. The problem is we don't listen. We don't listen. We hear, but we don't listen. Because the problem is this. What did I say the Bible said a while ago? What should we fear of? Who's for us? Who's our helper? And I promise you, we'll come up this week, we'll have a problem in our life, and we'll be fearful. We'll say, well, I can't do it. Boy, how many times you've heard my brother say that looks just like me, that those with us. Me. I'm being funny. I say that so many times. How can I do that? How can I overcome that? Oh, I tell you, folks, I felt like I failed when that church closed up on me because they didn't want blacks in that church. They wanted whites. They didn't mind blacks getting saved, but they couldn't join the church. And I said, nope, it's the Word of God. We're going to stand firm in the Word of God. And they said, no, they left. And I felt like I failed. But did I fail? But I looked at the cloud. And it was less than this amount of water. See, fear stops you. It paralyzes you. Stops you from doing great things. And I look at Joseph and he saw this and he obeyed the Word of God. He inclined his heart to the Word. Psalms 119 tells us, verse 35 says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. We need to incline our heart to the Word of God. And listen, he identified with Mary by, he says, he took unto him his wife. He listened. He not just listened to what the angel was telling him. He took her. He inclined to it. The Bible says, Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to first the Jew and also to the Greek. If it is the power of God and it changes life and it saved your soul, and he gave you life, then why do we fear? Ain't it amazing? We struggle. I can't get over it. Why do we struggle? Listen, he listened and he took his wife. He trusted the Word of God. He trusted the Word of God. And he took his wife. Romans 5:5 says, in the hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:10, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which liveth in you, which you are of God? He lives. Doesn't the Holy Spirit shed His love towards us? We know it's true. Joseph followed the path. He followed the path. Look at chapter 2, verse 13, and flip over. It says this. And when he departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there, and I will bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. He followed the path. He trusted God. He depended on God. And he did not fear. I think of a young boy. Did the same thing, fought a giant, and didn't fear. It's amazing what we can do if we don't fear the world and trust God. We need to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him. And He shall what? Direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, but what? Fear the Lord. Listen. It's simple. It's like kids' memory verses, ain't it? You know, that's little kids. But the problem is, we need to believe it. We need to do it. We need to trust it. He took those things. Perhaps someone is, trusting, having fear in their lives, or feel like they're paralyzed and standing still and they're not going forward. I mean, what's hindering us to do great things. I wonder what hinders us to increase our faith in faith promise or increase our faith in the building fund. What hinders us to really, really praying? What really hinders us really reading our Bibles? What hinders us? And James knows that answer. We fear the world and not trust God. It's just amazing to me. It's a simple thing. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." So when Jesus comes again, do you think we follow Him, be faithful, we'll be disappointed? Or do you think we'll see it's worth it all? That we trust Him. And He did it all. I mean, we should be a people with no fear. Because He has not given us a spirit of fear, did He? But a love and a power and a sound mind. Joseph was fearful. I believe he felt like he might have failed his wife. He didn't know what to do. But he got assurance from the Word of God. And says, "I'm trusting it." And he had a part of helping delivering a child named Jesus. His name was Emmanuel, God with us, and delivered His people and us from our sins. But he could say no and push her away. The child was still been born, but he had a part. It's like me going soul winning. I can't win them. I can't make them get saved, but I can have a part if I give them a track and tell them what Jesus done for me and let the Spirit of God do the work. Ain't that simple? It's like me giving money to missions. Say, "Here, God, I can't support all these missionaries. But here's, I believe You can give it back. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. God, here's some money for the building fund. God, here's my time for the ministry like I want us." And this Andrea doing the things for the kids. And you come every Thursday, I think, I don't know, sister, I do apologize. But she spends time with these kids here at homeschooling. Her investment in those kids. She ain't losing time. I mean, it's amazing what God will do for us if we just give ourselves to God. What would God do for Grace Baptist Church if we use these altars and get a hold of God and let God do the work in our lives and say, "Here am I, Lord. What do they have me to do? Here am I. I'm not going to be a man overcome of fear. I'm going to overcome fear by trusting in You." Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe someone is really struggling. I don't know your hearts, but I know this. We all got troubles. We all deal with things in our life that seem so big. It's amazing the things that I go through in life. It seems so big, but yet people's going through it ahead of me, looked at it, and it's just a small glass of water. I'm telling you is that God knows our burdens and our cares, but if we don't go to Him and trust the bend of Him, we'll never achieve anything. As the piano plays, you come.